Did you know that wetlands are one of the world's most valuable places? It's true. I'm Morgan Freeman, speaking on behalf of Ducks Unlimited, world's leader in wetlands and waterfowl conservation. Wetlands benefit everyone by filtering and cleaning our water. Wetlands help protect people from damaging storms and help trap and slow floodwaters. Wetlands provide you a location for hunting, fishing, boating, and a place to enjoy nature. And more than 900 species of wildlife depend on wetlands for survival. That's why I'm supporting Ducks Unlimited's work to conserve and restore North America's wetlands. You can help too. Help Ducks Unlimited conserve wetlands by supporting its Wetlands for Tomorrow campaign. Ducks Unlimited. Conservation today, wetlands for tomorrow.
WMFO Medford.
Alpha message in two parts. Break.
Today. Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, it is this place that I have found. What is this?
Oh, my God. What is that?
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Curious George. Written and illustrated by H. A. Ray. Top of the morning, George. It's time to romp and play. With a party, dancing, and parade, everyone's Irish today. Head into the closet. Is there green in there? You have to dress up special. St. Patrick's Day is here. Little monkey top hat, fancy green plaid vest. George picks out his finest so that he'll look his best. Heading down the staircase, George can't believe his eyes. His friend is dressed in yellow. Now that's a big surprise. Eating breakfast quickly, and then they're on the run. Heading off to start the day with leprechaun-filled fun. Special table on the grass for each laddie and each lass. Lots of scissors, lots of glue, colored paper, glitter too. Yarn and cotton, crayons new. Decorate this box for shoes. Giant paintbrush, paint and globs. Green and yellow rainbow blobs. George is ready, craft is done. Now it's time to have more fun. Let's catch a leprechaun. Crafts are done, outdoor fun. Kids are out to play. Everybody's dressed up for this very special day. Chocolate coin, all kids join. Treasure hunt is on. Look around to find the gold that's hidden on the lawn. Pot of gold, wealth untold. George found the rainbow's end. The kind of loot to share around and not the kind to spend. Music starts, George departs. It's monkeys on the run. He doesn't want to miss a beat. The dancing has begun. Girls with curls tap and swirl. Knees rise up with glee. Kick and jump, toes go thump. Dancers, one, two, three. Circle, dance, bounce, and prance. Round and round they go. Arms at sides, bright high strides. Cheeks and eyes aglow. George jumps in with a grin. Monkey toes a-tapping. Dancers smile. Crowd goes wild. Everybody clapping. Then the fiddlers start to play, and George jumps up with glee. Green balloons, snappy tunes. George watches from a tree. What's that on the ground there? Oh my, it cannot be. George jumps over, four-leaf clover. How lucky could he be? George thinks for just a moment before he makes a wish. Then he sniffs, takes a whiff, and wishes for an Irish dish. Tasty roast potatoes, warm and filling stew. Fine corned beef and cabbage, there's just one thing to do. Monkey at the table, eating up his fill. Starting to feel full now. Well, that is until dishes piled with sweet things, green punch in a bowl. George jumps up to get some. Punch bowl starts to roll. Oh no, oh my, what has he done? George jumps up to clean. He smiles at his good friend and sees, at last, he's wearing green. His friend laughs and gives a hug. But now they're running late. They're going to a big parade, and George just cannot wait. Bagpipes blow, drums beat low, music fills the air. Bands in green fill the scene. The parade is finally here. Festive floats glide like boats down the crowded street. Irish flags, tail wags, marching to the beat. looking round, lost and found. At last George sees his friend. Green and happy, looking snappy, here at the Rainbow's End.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Real Irish Show today on What Is This? Derek Carey is here with me, and George Wolfenden is here. First things first, I think we should give ourselves some Irish names, maybe. What do you think? There's all kinds of names you can have. Sean, Connor, Liam, any of those.
I'll go with Seamus.
Seamus, all right.
Oh, that's the good one.
Yeah.
He got the good one.
I was going to give him Sully, but you can have Seamus.
Seamus is the best.
Sully's good. What do you think? You can be an O'Toole? Patrick? Patrick O'Toole? How about Finn? We can get really into the Irish names.
I'll take Finn.
Oh, you want to be Finn?
I'll be Finn.
Finn McCool. I knew an Irish guy named Finn McCool. He ran a bar, of course.
Nice.
Aiden is a good one. Shane? I think I'll be Rory. I'll be Rory today.
Rory?
Yeah, why not? Killian. Killian's good.
Killian's good.
Yeah, I like Killian.
I like that. That's
Remember
good
the nice. Killian's Irish Red? Can we still get that anywhere? Is that possible?
I think so.
I don't think that's even possible anymore. Killian's Irish Red?
There's got to be an Irish bar around here somewhere that's got it.
I know you can't get Bass Ale anymore thanks to Anheuser-Busch. They stopped producing it in the States. So you can't even have a black and tan on St. Patrick's Day anymore.
Just have the black. Get the Guinness. You're good.
Yeah, but you need a tan, too. Yeah.
What serves as the tan now that Bass is giving?
I don't know. You can throw an iced tea in there, maybe.
Schlitz.
Throw a twisted iced tea in there. Or just have a car bomb. Isn't a car bomb a Guinness and a whiskey?
No.
Yeah, you can have a whiskey and a Guinness.
Car bomb, do not ever walk into an Irish bar and ask for a car bomb.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Because
you can have one.
If you get a real Irish bartender, they're going to spit in your drink and you deserve it.
That's right. Yeah, thanks to you, too. St. Patrick's Day isn't as fun anymore as soon as they came out with Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Well, no, I think thanks to the years of political upheaval and death on both sides, it's not fun anymore, but, you know.
Well, you never know. I think it's been named, St. Patrick's Day has been named the best in Boston, which I thought was funny because Chicago does a good St. Patrick's Day parade, too. But we were named number one for St. Patrick's Day events in Boston.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I've always had some fun on St. Patrick's Day. It's mostly because it's the end of the winter, usually. Usually. George, give us a story about St. Patrick's Day in the past.
Well,
anything?
I remember you made the news for partying on St. Patrick's
Day. That's right. Yeah, right.
Everyone was shutting down because COVID was hitting.
That's right.
And you were the face of the people that won't give up.
Yeah, it's like COVID was starting and I was out partying in the streets.
They interviewed our friend Chris, who was talking about how he had all this leftover corned beef and cabbage, and then it cuts over to you doing a little Irish jig in the middle of the street.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was doing a little Irish jig in the street. I was actually passing out little Luck of the Irish coins, and about 3 out of 5 people would not take one. So I would just toss them on the ground in front of them, and I go, here you go, and I kept walking. Because at that point, nobody knew what coronavirus was. COVID-19 wasn't even in the news yet. It was coronavirus. It was just corona, and then, that was pretty wacky. So we were down in Dorchester, and they canceled the parade, and Chris had his party. He actually had a bagpipe there that day. It was fun.
Nice.
There was only about a dozen of us, but we walked out into the streets, and then some other people joined us, and we just kept walking down the streets, and more people came, and cameras came. So we gave them what they needed. They needed a little story about the people that were resilient to coronavirus in the beginning of it. But that all changed. Now nobody even wants to talk about it anymore. That was 3 years ago or four? That was 3 years ago. Oh, no, that was 4 years ago. That was in 2019.
That was?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty... No, it was 2020. 2020. It was 2020.
So three.
Yeah.
Is my mic even on?
It was.
Oh, there it is. That's better.
George's mic. Oh, George switched over to three. That's why. I had you on four. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Now,
that's much better.
Yeah.
I was over here, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on there. Well, in the background, Sunday Bloody Sunday, there's some new U2 songs. They're coming out with a new album.
Are they just going to automatically drop it in your iTunes again, and then everybody has to figure out how to get rid of it?
They've learned that lesson. No, now they're charging $50 or $60 for a vinyl with a T-shirt on their website. They also have a Irish Green cassette that sold out in minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for everybody who still has a cassette player.
That's the hot new thing now.
Yeah, cassettes are big again.
Cassettes are the new vinyl.
Yeah. I still have a cassette player, of course. I've got decks. I've still got the cassette decks.
Do you have a Walkman?
I do. I got a nice Walkman.
Nice.
Yep. With those great headphones that just, those things are falling apart now. As soon as you put on your ears, all the, it just falls apart, all that foam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it probably gives your ears cancer as soon as you put them on. With all that stuff that they made. I have a pair of headphones that I had bought not too long ago, probably about 6-7 years. And they literally were ones that went over your ears, but as soon as I put them on, they deteriorated, and they just, all of a sudden, all this stuff was in my hair, and my ears, and I'm like, what is that? And I looked down, and both of the headphones were just all, like, flaking off. And all I did was just set them in a drawer, you know? It's so like I don't know what they made the thing with, but...
It's like the swamp from the old Kenner Dagobah playset.
That's, that's right, when you got a couple pieces of foam in the playset.
That disintegrated, too.
And then it would fall apart on you,
yeah.
You couldn't put the Dianoga in there. Oh, no, it was the Crate Dragon.
Foam was not meant to last for, like, 40 years, apparently.
Yeah. So in the background here is a little taste of Beautiful Day, so I just want to get you guys' opinion on this. What do you think? It sounds like they're heavily medicated to me.
This is you too?
Yeah.
Oh, now I hear it. Beautiful day.
They've made everything sonic for some reason. And for some reason, The Edge wants to sing just as much as Bono this time. So,
that's
I don't know.
Who I heard.
What do you guys think?
Why?
They needed the money, I think.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if Larry's even on this, because there's not many drums in the tracks that I've heard. They've dropped 4 new tracks in full, and they have snippets of about 20 of them so far. There's a few that are pretty good. The remaked version of one's pretty good. This one I thought was kind of a stinker. I'm a big U2 fan, but this one was kind of a stinker. I guess on St. Patrick's Day, David Letterman does an interview with them, and it's going to drop on Disney Plus on St. Patrick's Day, promoting the U2 album, Moments of Surrender.
When is that guy going to go away?
Letterman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I loved him in the past.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Now he's like the
now
white...
Now I just want him to shave.
Now he's like the white Oprah. He just keeps showing up all over the place interviewing people, and then what do you do the rest of the time?
Yeah. George had a good beard going. You still got the beard going.
I had to take it down a little bit, but yeah, it was about as long as
it was about as long as Letterman's. Yeah, wasn't as white as Letterman's,
no.
But he had a great publicist to say stay away for a number of years and then come back and act like a grandpa and everybody will be endearing.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah, and these interviews that he's done on Netflix, where the interviews of people, what is it called? People that need no introduction.
Yeah.
Like half of them, I'm like, this is all just political crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why did you choose Melinda Gates? I don't know.
He's no Philomena Crunk, is I think what you can say about
Have you
David
watched
Letterman.
That? Isn't that great?
Yeah. Have you seen that, George?
No. Yeah.
Crunk on Earth?
Crunk on Earth
Holy
on Netflix.
Holy cow, you got to see this.
Yeah, it's great. If you like Ricky Gervais and you like Borat and Ally G, you'll like. Kunk.
If you ever read a Douglas Adams book in your life, you'll love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You got
it's
me.
Kunk, right? Is it Kunk?
It's Kunk. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Kunk on Earth.
On Earth.
The basic premise of the show is that it's a history of Earth.
Yeah.
Done in the style of one of those documentaries.
Yeah.
And she's a complete idiot.
Her name's Diane Morgan. She is. You've probably seen her before. She did a number of things on the BBC. And she also used to do, like, Best Week Ever and do, like, little snips on that.
Yeah.
But she's very funny.
But the character that she plays is one of these internet-informed modern people. And they sit her down with academics, and she asks them ridiculous questions.
I have seen short clips of this, social media.
It's brilliant. The one thing I'll say about it is they're 30-minute episodes, and you really need to watch one and then just walk away from it for a while because they're very dense.
Mm.
They hit you with a ton of jokes really, really fast.
And there's actually a lot of history in there, too. So there's great jokes and there's some great history in there, too. It's really fun. Yeah, really good. Oscars last week. Did you watch them, George? Anything?
I did not.
Did you see any of the Oscar movies?
I did not.
This was the easiest predictions, I think, in years. I think I got 20 out of 23.
Wow, even, you did better.
Even with the shorts.
No, you didn't.
I did. 20 out of 23.
I got a sheet somewhere. No, I don't think I wrote down your picks. Did you get 20?
I didn't do it based on what I said on the air. I did it right before on my sheet.
Okay, so if we go by what we said on the air, you were nowhere near 20.
Well, I didn't get that meticulous. I'll have to listen to, I don't like to listen to our show after we're done with it.
Neither do I.
I'm like, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but did really, really well on it. I have to say, I didn't see all of them. I never got to see Tar, and I never got to see Women Talking. But I did guess Women Talking for the best win there. Tar, I don't think, won anything, right? I don't think it won anything.
No, it did not.
And I finally saw Triangle Sadness.
Terrible.
I loved it.
Really?
That was my number two.
Really?
Yeah. I could see why you didn't like it, but... I liked it a lot.
I think
there was more to it than class warfare everybody was talking about. I think there was a lot more into it than class warfare.
But that's the thing. There really wasn't. That was the problem.
It said a lot about narcissism. It said a lot about men and women and in between and social gatherings. I think there was a lot in there.
Yeah, but ultimately, it's just about money, and it's clear that it's just about money, and it doesn't have anything interesting to say about money.
What do you think the last shot was when he's running through the woods?
He's running to save her life.
You think so? See, I didn't interpret it that
way. That's the official read of it, is that he's running to save her life. I interpreted it as he was running from the other one.
Mm. No, see, I was interpreting it as he's a man, and he has to save his woman. And he's doing it by any means necessary, even though... You know, the roles have changed in that last little chapter there. And all those little thorns and stuff are all his wounds along the way, living his own life.
I don't think the film is that clever, to be honest with you.
I thought it was good.
I thought Act Two was a nice sort of Terry Gilliam-esque bit of stuff.
See, the part I hated the most was when everybody threw up.
See, that's the part. Yeah. That's the only part I liked. That was the only part of it that worked for me.
Yeah, see, that's the only part I didn't like.
It was very Gilliam, that stretch of the movie.
Yeah.
And then everything on either side of it, I just did nothing for me.
Well, just that part, too, where they're all trying to act behaved when everything is going wrong around them.
Yeah.
I think said a lot more than class warfare.
Yeah.
I think it's very much a sign of the times. With a lot of things that's happening in the media. And also, you can even do the Oscar slap and throw that in there. I mean, it was everybody not doing anything after they just saw exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, just sit there and do nothing, just like Jimmy Kimmel said on the Oscars.
But having seen The Menu, I don't know if you've seen The Menu yet or not.
Yeah,
The Menu is a much better version of Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They're very similar films. Yeah. They have the same theme. And for me, The Menu just worked so much better.
Yeah.
I did see The Menu.
The Menu's great.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
Yeah.
In the background there was Pride, and that's another stripped-down version of that.
I was disappointed that Voldemort there didn't get an Oscar nomination, because I thought he was one of the greatest villains I've seen.
He's always good, but he's always going to be the best as a Nazi. In Schindler's List. Ralph Fiennes.
That may have something to do with it.
Yeah. That's his definitive you can't... Role, yeah. Right? Or the guy in Strange Worlds. Strange Days, right?
Yeah.
Strange Days.
That is a terrible movie.
We saw that in the movie theater.
Really, a terrible movie.
I think I saw that with you.
Yeah, you did. We went to it, Woburn, and we saw it in like a snowstorm.
Yeah.
God, that was awful.
Yeah. He's always good, though. Plus, he was The English Patient.
Wasn't that a James Cameron film?
I think it was.
It was his wife.
Oh.
Yeah. Strange Days.
Was it?
Yeah, that was Catherine Bigelow.
But Cameron produced it.
I think so. The story was by him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you never hear anything about that movie anymore.
Yeah. Juliette Lewis was in it. And who was the other one in? Oh, Angela Bassett. Maybe she should have been nominated for an Oscar for that one.
The late Tom Sizemore, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, yeah. You know who we never mentioned weeks ago we were trying to think of? We never mentioned Richard Belzer. Yeah, we were trying to think of who it was. Yeah, he was great. I thought he was great.
I love Richard Belzer.
And in Law and Order, Strange New Worlds, SUV or whatever it's called.
I actually own a copy of The Groove Tube on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And he's great in that one sequence of The Groove Tube, which is about the dealers.
I just watched that a few weeks ago.
Great movie.
Yeah. Richard Belzer from Law and Order. You remember him?
Looked like Rick Ocasek a little bit.
Yes, quite a bit.
Yeah.
only much taller.
He was a big stand-up, especially in the 70s. He was one of the first ones on TV that hit the big boom.
I believe he was one of the people who popularized cocaine in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Along with Cuban immigrants, if I am to believe the Brian De Palma movies.
I thought you were going to say Cuba Gooding Jr.
No, it was.
I didn't know Cuba did that.
It was the Cuban,
show me the money.
It was pretty much the Cubans and Richard Belzer, and that gets you the whole late 70s coke habit in the United States.
Yeah. He was French. He was from Massachusetts, though, at least for a time.
Belzer.
He went to Dean College in Franklin, Mass.
All the cool people are from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah. Good amount. But otherwise, I thought that was a good Oscars broadcast. Thought it was excellent.
You know what impressed me about it, and this has nothing to do with being Irish or any of it. After years of saying, "Oh, we can't have live performances, and we can't have all the awards, and on and on and on," they had live performances of all the nominated songs.
Yeah, too much.
They got in all the awards, and it was over by 11:30.
Yeah,
and it never felt like it dragged.
I didn't think so either. It was good. I do think. The four big ones at the end are a little much. I think they should put at least Best Actor and Actress at least midway through something, you know? Because they rush toward the end.
What was weird to me was we were getting into like the 11 o'clock hour and they hadn't done Best Sound.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is one of the technicals this late in the broadcast?
Yeah, to have all five songs is just too much, too. But I'm glad the Best Song won. We were raving about that a couple of weeks ago.
Klaatu Barada Nikto. If you haven't seen the video for it, go watch the video and you'll understand why people love the song.
It's amazing.
Those dancers are incredible.
And they didn't look like they broke a sweat.
No.
And you saw them just stomping for like 3.5 minutes. It's like, oh my God. It's like their heart rates are probably like 120, 190, yeah. 200, 210.
You go do
like
that.
Little hummingbirds.
Go do that dance when everybody's doing the step dancing on Friday.
Yeah.
And you'll own the room.
You ever see an Irish girl step dance, Joe? Did you ever see the nice step dance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
We saw an offshoot of River Dance.
Did you?
It wasn't River Dance, but yeah, it was like a copy production.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They're pretty good.
I counted Lord of the Dance as one of my clients at one point in time. I think I can say
Michael
that.
Flatley? Michael Flatley?
Yes, Michael Flatley.
He was Irish.
He still is Irish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very Irish.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good news for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I was in St. Patrick's Day with WAF in 2000. Which was pretty, 2001 actually, which was pretty awesome. Except they had the Mad Cow going on.
Oof.
So when the Mad Cow, you got off the plane and you had to dunk your shoes or your sneakers while you had them on in like this orange, like chemicals. And nobody questioned what it was or whether or not like your feet were going to burn as soon as you put them in. Everybody just did it. You know, it was like a pre-coronavirus thing. They're like, no, you want to come to Ireland, this is what you're going to do. And at one point they were saying, you know, people that had farms and, you know, they had livestock, if anybody came up to their farm and even stepped on it, people were pulling out shotguns. And because as soon as they stepped onto their farm and one livestock got it, they all got it.
Yeah.
And I remember the other vivid vision of that year was landing and. After waiting on the runway for, I think, 6 to 7 hours to take off. And then we had to go to Galway, and we had to stop in London for some reason. It was just, it took forever to get there. And smoldering off in the distance of the airport was a giant bonfire of livestock.
Yikes.
That they were burning because they had all caught Mad Cow. So we were told, don't eat any beef. And, Terrence sat right down to a meal of steak as soon as somebody told him that, but everybody else pretty much complied.
No one's going to tell him.
Yeah, and it was pretty wild. So they canceled the parade, too. So we were supposed to be part of the parade in Galway with WAF, and they ended up canceling it. So there was nothing for us to do that day, so we spent the night drinking on the 16th, and I had just met my friend Terrence, and you know Terrence as well, Derek.
I do know Terrence.
And we stayed up all night drinking, and we're like, let's go on a 5 a.m. bus ride around around Ireland. So him and I went on the bus, and nobody else. And there was supposed to be like four or five other people meeting us, but they never did. They just went to bed. And we got back around 8 p.m., and everybody's like, where you guys been all day? We're like, we went to the Cliffs of Moher. We went at Irish whiskeys at a little pub in the middle of nowhere. It was great.
Nice.
And there was only about maybe 10 people on the bus the whole day. And, it was pretty fun. It was a great St. Patrick's Day, even though we didn't get to do the big parade. But, I spent two times in Ireland for St. Patrick's Day. And what's funny is it's more religious than anything. It's not a big celebration like you'd get here in Dorchester or out in Chicago or anything, but still a lot of fun.
Yeah, they kind of mock us for what we do over here.
Yeah.
The actual Irish are like, what is that?
The beginning of that, Curious George is very American, isn't it? Isn't it an American, written by an American? That whole part with... getting gold, like doing a little gold run on the lawn. It's kind of fun. And they make all kinds of things and they dress up in green and they have corned beef and cabbage and all that. Yeah, that doesn't really exist if you go anywhere else but the U.S. It was kind of, I guess the Irish Americans needed, a day off from working hard when they got here. So St. Patrick's Day became bigger than ever. Well, but it's still a fun holiday. I think it's one of the more fun holidays.
I think
If
I know my history, and I don't, I'm filling me in a kunk in this regard.
What'd you call me?
St. Patrick's Day celebrates the liberation of Ireland from the Romans, I think.
I think so.
I think they kicked...
Is it the Romans?
I think they kicked the Romans out.
Huh.
And they were like, hey, we got our country back and we can be Catholic again.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, St. Patrick's Day started in New York City.
Yeah.
And the reason it started is because even as far back as 1900, all the cops in New York were Irish.
Right.
And they basically all said, we're not coming to work that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big parade.
We're going to have some beers.
And because all the cops were in the parade, there was no one to arrest them.
Yep.
And now you got St. Patrick's Day.
Said the patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick, died on St. Patrick's Day. 17th of March, the traditional death date of St. Patrick, who lived from 385 to 461 AD. Said it was an official Christian feast day in the early 17th century, observed by the Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion, the Church of Ireland, the Sea of I.
The Sea of I. The Episcopalians in this country, I think. Is that it? The Episcopalians?
Mm-hmm. It says it's a public holiday in the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, Canadian province of Newfoundland and Labrador, and also in the United States, Argentina, Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand. I'd like to see how South Africa and Australia celebrate. There was a lot of Irish that got sent over to Australia,
yeah,
right?
The prisoners, yeah, there were.
They were all the prisoners from England and Ireland went to Australia, right?
Argentina, Argentina for me is the weird one in that group. But it's like everybody like from all over the world seems to go to Argentina.
Yeah, U2 does well in Brazil and Argentina.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense.
And you never hear about Argentina unless they're declaring war on England.
Yeah.
And that was a while ago. It's like they're usually pretty quiet down there. So it's like there must be something good happening in Argentina, and we're all up here and don't know about it.
Yeah. The background here
strangely,
is...
Strangely, a lot of 80s metal acts are still big in Argentina.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Like Warrant and things like that. Crocus.
Iron Maiden's huge.
Iron Maiden,
their biggest concerts are in... Are in Argentina.
Is that where where the Vikings went? Like, did all the hardcore Vikings just go to Argentina and be like, ah?
Yeah. Dropkick Murphys in the background with Dirty Water.
I know it was full of Nazis after World War II.
Yep. Yep. Did you ever see the Dropkick Murphys?
No. I saw the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones.
Yeah.
I did not see the Dropkick
Kind of the same.
Kind
of the same. But I saw the Dropkick Murphys on St. Patrick's Day a few years ago. And there was it wasn't even middleweight, it was featherweight fighting. They set this up at the House of Blues. And I think it was like 30, 40 bucks or whatever. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So decided to do that last minute and went in to see the featherweights and the Dropkick Murphys. Dropkick Murphys had about 12 other gigs that day, I think, because they were supposed to show up at like 8 and they didn't show up till like 11:30, 11:45. They played for like 25 minutes and then they were done. And pretty much as soon as they heard shipping out to Boston, they're shipping up to Boston, it was over. Everybody just walked. Well, like, we're all drunk. We were watching, you know, 280-pound weaklings slap each other for 4 hours. We're out of here.
Was Brian Joyce with them?
I didn't see him that night, no.
Because I know Brian went to BC High with the lead of the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah, as far as I know, I remember they had done, like, they were supposed to do a bunch of other gigs that day, and they were just late, and they mentioned it once, but everybody was just like, eh, whatever.
But you
it's
got
like
to see skinny guys wail on each other, and that can be a good time,
you
too.
You know what's funny is you don't even hear them. Like, you hear just, like, tufts, like, when you hear those heavyweight fights, because I go to the Golden Gloves every year. I didn't get to go this year, but usually down in Lowell, you hear the heavyweights fight. You hear those thumps. Yeah. I mean, you could be up in the balcony. It's just like, ooh, that must have hurt. Yeah, the featherweights, you know, I can take a punch in the chops from a few featherweights. Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
I could be like eating a hoagie.
15
like
pound padded gloves, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like again, like from Raging Bull, like he does that to Joe Pesci.
They're too skinny to have much stamina. You know, like what are you not eating to stay at that weight?
Yeah. Best Irish movie. You guys see The Quiet Man? You like that one? The Commitments? That's a great one.
That's a good one.
I like The Commitments.
Yeah. I love The Commitments. Great music in that. That was an Alan Parker movie, too.
Banshees of Inisherin.
It was good. Did you see that one yet?
Banshees
of Inisherin?
No.
Yeah. Well, it was up for Best Picture, background Whiskey in the Jar.
I've been thinking about, you know, coming down to the station and cutting my fingers off and throwing them at the door if you don't stop doing this radio show.
Yeah. You got to see it, George. You'll like it. It's very funny, but it's very, very dark.
Is that the Colin
I thought it was
Farrell?
A little too brutal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other guy who was in...
Brendan Gleeson. Yes.
I think maybe it was the mood I was in that day because I was enjoying the comedy so much that it took a direct turn and I'm like, I didn't really want to see that.
It is a pitch black comedy.
Yeah.
And understanding that, you can appreciate what's going on, but it is so dark that it may be too much for some people.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it's a complete comedy after it starts as a comedy and then it makes a change.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it does.
But you've got to tune out of your normal human emotions.
It's very
sort of,
sad.
It's yeah. But it is, but it isn't. You
no,
know?
It's sad.
Yeah. The first film they did together is kind of a dark comedy, though, in Bruges.
Right.
It's a little,
Yeah.
Another Ray Fiennes appearance in that one where he's very good.
Yeah. Does he play the donkey?
He's like
there's a donkey in this one. Jenny.
He's the mob boss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What was the one that
I'd like to see him play a donkey. That would be a best actor role.
What was that Kenneth Branagh thing that got nominated for best picture last year, maybe 2 years ago?
That was Irish?
Yeah.
Death on the Nile, Orient Express?
No.
That was Irish. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I never saw it. Belfast.
Belfast.
Yeah, yeah. Was that good?
That was good.
Yeah.
I liked that quite a bit.
Was it funny?
No, because it's about the onset of the Troubles. And
that sounds hilarious to me.
Well, it's...
See, I like it more. I like my black comedies on a global scale. I don't care about individuals. That bothers me. But on a global scale,
I love Bloody Sunday. I think Bloody Sunday is a great movie. The Paul Greengrass take on Bloody Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a pretty harrowing film to watch, but it also cuts into all of the tensions that existed at that point in time.
Yeah. And we're missing some other... Oh, Departed's kind of an Irish movie, isn't it?
It's Boston Irish, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. There's a movie called Unwelcome. You ever see that?
No.
Oh, Brooklyn was good. But was it Saoirse Ronan? Yeah.
Yeah.
2015. That was a good movie. Wasn't great, but it was a good movie. It was entertaining to me because it didn't make me feel awful afterwards. Some movies just like try to make you feel awful, but I enjoyed that one. I thought it was a very, very nice movie.
Titanic, that had some Irish content in it.
Far and Away. With Nicky and Tom Cruise, who weren't together at the Oscars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she showed up with Keith Urban, and they're like, Tom Cruise ain't showing up, and sure enough, he wasn't there. Yeah, he doesn't want to see her. Far and Away is great, though. Little Richie Cunningham, he made that. Who else is in that?
I don't, is anybody else in that?
1992? I'm thinking Ray Fiennes might show up in that.
Is Enya in that?
Thomas Gibson. I want to say Clint Howard's got to be in it because he shows up in everything that Richie does. Oh, in the background, the two gay Irish men. You ever hear this? Red Peters. Jared Harris is in it.
Oh, here's a big one.
He's good.
In the Name of the Father.
That's a good one.
Yeah, all those early Daniel Day-Lewis movies.
Yeah.
Those count.
What do you think? We're going to see him again, or did he really retire?
I think he's done.
Yeah.
I think he's out. Because he doesn't have to do it anymore.
Doesn't he play Christy Moore?
Yes.
In My Left Foot?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good one.
But it's like you think about Irish movies, and they're all about like pain and people killing each other and tragedy.
That's what life is, though.
You know, it's there's no shortage of Italian movies I can watch that do that, but everybody's drunk and having a good time doing it. You know,
Christy Brown, not Christy Moore. I had to correct myself. Christy Moore's a different Christy. Just as Irish. Here's a couple more Irish names. Donal. Ruler of the world, it means.
I think it's Donal. No, I think it's pronounced Donal.
It's probably Donal.
Donal.
How about Diarmid?
Dermid.
Diarmid, it says.
It's Dermid.
No, according to this, it's Diarmid. It says D-E-E-R-M-I-D.
Yeah.
Diarmid.
I knew a Dermid growing up, so.
It's D-I-A-R-M-U-I-D. The name means without enemy.
Yeah.
There is also Dermot, the angelicized virgin.
Yes.
That's the guy you knew.
Yeah.
There's Lorcan. This is like a Star Wars name.
Lorcan.
Lorcan. Yeah.
I don't know a Lorcan.
This name can mean either silent or fierce in Irish. Lorcan was the name of Brian Boru's grandfather, as well as the two kings of Leinster.
Because he's always lurking around the back of the pub.
Yeah. Brendan, there's an Irish one. Barry. Conan. Like Conan O'Brien, that's a good one. There's one called Caolan. C-A-O-L-A-N. It means slender. From the Gaelic world, cowl.
Hmm.
Fergal? Is Fergie Irish? From the Black Eyed Peas?
No. She's from Los Angeles. And her name is Sarah. Her last name is Ferguson. I forget her first name.
Yeah.
She was on Kids Incorporated.
Was she
I
really?
Know way too much about Fergie. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They put together that band, right? The Black Eyed Peas. Wasn't that kind of like a boy band? But
the Black Eyed Peas was already a band, and Fergie was already a thing, and they came together for that one album that went huge.
Yeah.
And then Fergie's solo career took off. Stacey Ferguson.
God bless her.
She's not Irish with her first name being Stacy.
All right. Sinead O'Connor, yes or no?
I'm going to go with yes.
Which era?
Yes? Yeah?
Which era?
I'm going to go with no.
Because I don't know. I mean, I don't argue with you on this, George.
I don't miss her.
But at the same time, I just think you're going to end up in the hospital at the end of the night.
Oh, with Sinead?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's gonna do something crazy. She's definitely crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks like she flails while she's with you. She looks like a flailer. Like she looked like you get handsy with you just at hello.
When that robot starts going crazy at the end of Ex Machina,
that was a good movie.
That's Sinead.
That's Sinead.
Yeah. This was interesting too. We're over in Ireland, and Terrence and I were, I think it was like the 18th. It was after St. Patrick's Day, and we were just going for a walk. And we're walking down the street, and we said, "How are you?" And "How are you?" isn't like "Hello" in Ireland.
Oh, no.
It just, I don't know. But this woman just looked at us and spit at Terrence's feet. She just spit right at his feet and kept walking. And you're like, "Oh, she wasn't very nice." I'm like, geez, all he said was, "How are you?"
I'm like,
"Terrence, don't say anything to anybody anymore."
That's her answer.
I'm like, "We need to get back to the hotel. We need to get back to Boston."
I don't think it's exclusive to Irish. I think a lot of European countries are taken aback when they're asked, "How are you? How are you doing?" They're not. It's not a.
Well, he's got a very thick accent too. He's got the Boston Irish accent, so it's like, "How are you?" So it sounds. I don't know. Maybe it sounds kind of intimidating. Well, but
when I was in Poland, people were taking quite literally. They would actually tell you how they're doing.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Like
they'd
spend like my dad would like spend 20 minutes.
I have
with you.
Cancer.
Like how you doing? And they tell
Why
you the whole
care?
Life story. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I had somebody like I'm in the deli the other day, and this lady walks up to me, and I'm like looking at I'm like picking up some mustard, you know, like a nice deli mustard that has the seeds in it, and it was the German mustard. And like, "Oh, that's a good mustard." I'm like, "Thanks." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." I'm like, "That's why I'm buying it." I'm like, "We know each other." I'm like, "We good here?" I went to deliver a pizza at this guy's house, and I gave him the price. And he's like, hey, where's the other guy? And I go, oh, Steve? I said, oh, I knew him from high school. He goes, are we good here? And I go, yeah. I go, I am if you are. Give me your money. See you later.
It's a very American thing.
Some people don't want to talk.
It's a very American thing, though. Is it, you know, how are you?
Yeah.
You don't care about the answer. You don't want to know the answer.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
But you want to project that you give a crap.
There's too many pleasantries in the world.
There's a lot.
That's one of the reasons why I like Triangle Sadness.
There's a lot of performative caring in American culture.
Yes. Yeah. Most people don't care.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
It's like you could be somebody like laying in the street bleeding. It's like, how are you? Keep walking.
And
you
know, let's
I'm laying here bleeding.
We'll bring that right back around to St. Patrick's Day.
You do
some
you.
Some of your best friends will be made on St. Patrick's Day, true or false. Because it's funny because I've known Terrence for 20-something years now. We basically met on a St. Patrick's Day trip. And there's a whole bunch of people that I knew from that trip that I still keep in touch with today. You will have fun with people on St. Patrick's Day. They're in a like mood. And they're there to have fun. They wanted to take the day off from work or half day, have some green beers or some whiskeys and, you know, sing or dance a jig, play the Bo-Ron, you know, that big drum. It's like a big drum skin and like a it's got a little stick. It's hard to play, but I got one at home. It's been 20 years. I can play like four notes. That's about it. George brought up this. This is from Creighton, Alabama, I believe. Or Creighton, I think it's Alabama,
yeah,
Louisiana.
I think it's Alabama.
A leprechaun was found. And this is the news item for that. We'll be right back. This is What Is This? Real Irish Show here with Derek and George. What did we have our names today? I went with... Killian.
I'm Finn.
I thought you were Rory.
Oh, I changed. I'm going to be Killian. Yeah, I want to miss Killian's Irish red.
And Seamus.
And Seamus.
Seamus, Finn, and Killian. We'll be right back with you here on WMFO.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Creighton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Creighton community. Many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you gotta do is look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun? Say yeah!
Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wards off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want to go. Give me the go. I want to go.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
You know what I like? I like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody
got
a really good look at it and got that good drawing out there.
Who did that? I want to know who sketched that.
I don't know. Maybe Brian sketched it.
Doodling.
That was a good story.
Great game, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. I got to shower off.
Aye, then you'll be wanting this.
Oh, Irish Spring.
Look, in these green and white stripes, this unique double deodorant system gives you long-lasting protection.
What a fine, fresh scent it has. A manly soap, your Irish Spring.
Manly, yes, but I like it too.
Irish Spring, for long-lasting deodorant protection.
How do you improve on a fresh Irish morn? Try new Irish Spring deodorant soap, now with an antibacterial ingredient.
Give us a look.
Better protection and the same lasting scent.
What are you doing, man?
Looking for the antibacterial ingredient.
You can't see it, Kevin. It's how you feel.
Clean and fresh all day.
I must tell the missus.
New Irish Spring with antibacterial protection. You like it too.
What is this place?
Welcome to Irish Spring, friend.
It's a place where stinkiness is unwelcome.
Bad smells must receive their correction.
Cast thy smell away!
Irish Spring, a smell from a nice smelling place.
Fresh and clean as a whistle, that's Irish Spring. Fresh and clean as a whistle.
Because Irish Spring's green and white stripes have two freshening deodorants. Two deodorants for a fresher kind of clean.
And a fine fresh scent.
You're fresh and
clean as a whistle.
Irish Spring deodorant soap gets you fresh and clean as a whistle.
Fresh and clean as a whistle. That's Irish Spring. Fresh and clean as a whistle.
Irish Spring's green and white stripes have two truly effective deodorants. Two deodorants.
And a fine fresh scent. So you're fresh and
clean as a whistle.
That's Irish Spring deodorant soap. Gets you fresh and clean as a whistle.
Oh, here he comes.
Bet you can't make him stop.
I bet I can.
Oh, morning, Sean.
Morning, Mary. Tis a fine, fresh day.
Aye, fresh as the fragrance of Irish Spring.
Ah, Irish Spring. I should have known a fine girl like you would appreciate Irish Spring. With its unique double deodorant system.
Tis manly protection.
Manly, yes. But I like it, too.
Irish Spring. Now in the big, longer-lasting shower size.
One of my secrets.
What's that, Irish Spring?
Irish Spring.
Who doesn't like Irish
Spring? I love Irish Spring.
I love Irish Spring, too.
You ever cut into the Irish Spring with a pocket knife?
Never felt the need to whittle my Irish Spring.
No. Yeah, they like to whittle it.
I will say, during COVID, Irish Spring was great. Because if I could wake up in the morning and smell the Irish Spring, I was like, all right, I haven't lost my sense of smell. Yep.
Supposedly, it keeps away the rats, too. The Irish Spring. You're supposed to like put it in the garden and keep away mice and rodents and things that attack your garden.
I will say my bathroom has been rat-free for quite some time now, but I also own a cat, so I don't know if it's just the soap doing it.
The only problem is your tomatoes taste like soap.
Nice.
All through the summer.
Yum. Well, you're Irish. You're not growing any tomatoes.
Yeah, just potatoes.
Tomatoes.
How about some potatoes?
Get some potatoes and get rid
potatoes
of the tomatoes.
Potatoes are Mali. Yeah. All right, what's the best part of the corned beef dinner? The corned beef, the potato, the carrots, none of it, a cabbage, an onion.
Carned beef. Carned beef.
Carny beef.
The water.
The water. Nice. You make a little soup out of it.
Carned beef.
Throw it just on a little bread, have a little hobo chili.
That's right. Soda bread.
Just soak it on the Irish soda bread, yes and no. I don't know much about it. But it's made with a lot of baking soda, isn't it?
Baking soda.
Yeah. Yeah. It's soda like bread. Soda bread's not bad.
It's crumbly, isn't it?
It's very crumbly.
Is it like a scone?
It's no, it's more like cornbread.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Okay, like if you know how cornbread, if you make it wrong, gets really dry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Irish soda bread is a little bit like that. Like you really want to get some butter or jam or something on that beast if you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
But it's tasty.
You throw a little mustard in there?
Caraway seeds.
Sure.
So you get that nice rye flavor going in there?
I don't know if I like rye that much.
Oh, man.
Is rye Irish? Is the rye English or Irish? Is it just everywhere?
I think it's, I don't know. It's one of those like mother foods, isn't it?
In the background, far and away, John Williams.
Everybody had caraway seeds.
Yeah. I love the corned beef. Are you a corned beef fan?
Carned beef? I can't stand it.
Really? A lot of people don't like it. I love it.
So Friday is St. Patrick's Day, but Friday night is German food night at my house.
Okay.
So Molly, who is barely Irish, I don't think she's Irish at all, actually.
Yeah.
The other night was like, what are we going to have on St. Patrick's Day? And I'm like, we're having German, it's German food night. We're having schnitzel.
Oh, you're sticking with the schnitzel,
yeah.
Huh? Wow.
Because Irish food is terrible. right?
I don't think so. I love it.
Come on.
I love it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I
know
you don't. I don't want it all the time, but I love it.
So
boil it all.
Somebody calls up and they're like, hey, let's go out for Irish.
Sure.
No one has ever said that.
There's not. Well, Dennis Leary did a whole thing on Irish cuisine. Yeah. You just boil it and boil it and boil it. What's great is you can never overboil the corned beef.
You boil it until there's absolutely no flavor left.
It's almost like boiling an egg. It's actually a step up from learning how to make an egg.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's a good dinner for people to make. If they don't know how to make it, you just throw it in a pot. I mean, and boil it. I mean, the pasta eventually you got to take out, otherwise it's ruined. But the corned beef ain't. It could sit in there for 3 days. I made one a couple of weeks ago.
Very easy.
Yeah, it's good. I like the carrots. You don't like the carrots and the juices and all that?
My mother was Irish. Everything was boiled to the point where if it wasn't for the color and shape of it, you would have no idea what it was.
See, I think there's a lot of taste to it because there's all that fat off the corned beef. It just gets into everything.
Well, that's if you're roasting everything in a pan.
Yeah.
But that's not the way the Irish would do it.
You got to spend a couple of days indoors, too, after a nice corned beef dinner, too. You don't want to be too far away from your commode. You have to be at home base.
Well, that's the cabbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll go, right through you.
Apart from coleslaw, I have no use at all for cabbage.
I love coleslaw. I'm not a big cabbage guy, but I'll have a little bit. There's also the gray and there's the red corned beef. One of them's a thinner cut. Or it's like a cow with mad cow disease. Let's have, what kind of rot do you like in your corned beef? Do you like the gray or the pink? Far and Away was a great movie. I remember loving this. This is one of my first laser discs I bought because this was filmed in 78 speed there. This was on, what the hell was it, 70 millimeter film. And that was pretty impressive. You get to see Tom Cruise and Nikki fall in love. Mm. Wouldn't that be great, though? They race with flags to get a patch of land, which is what they actually did in, I think it was 1818 Ba-Boom. Whatever it was, they had this great, the great expansion of the United States, and the government didn't know what to do with all this extra land that we stole, so they gave it away, so the onus wouldn't completely be on them, and, you know, Irish and Italians and Germans and, you know, pretty much all the white people from Europe took a flag and went out to claim their land. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah, pretty good. Now you got to pay $1 million for a shack if you want to live in Massachusetts. But I don't know. Where are all the settlers go now? Is there any place you think on Earth that hasn't been settled other than, like, you know, the rainforests?
There's like huge chunks of this planet that haven't been settled, but nobody wants to live there because there's no Starbucks.
You live with the Navoo underwater like an Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like there's massive, massive stretches of the American Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's living there. Huge chunks of Canada. No, like
Montana.
There's the interesting thing about Canada. Canada's got like 30 million people,
mm-hmm.
and the majority of them live within like 100 miles of the U.S. border.
Yeah,
everything up above there, nothing.
A lot of Irish in Canada? I would think so.
Yeah, a good amount of Irish over there. Everybody, a lot of French, because everybody over there was hunting beaver.
Sure, who wouldn't?
Big country for beaver hunting.
Yeah, I believe you.
Go down St. Catherine Street, see if you find some beaver.
Yeah, up in Canada there's a lot of beaver.
Yeah, tons.
Yeah.
There's a little village on the Hudson.
A beaver village?
I think maybe that's how it started, but
yeah,
it's become a tourist destination because there's just, you know, like it's untouched land around it, and polar bears like will come up
untouched
on the land
beaver.
And possibly, you know, destroy your car.
Nice. Oh, so they're not tame. It's not come no. see our tame polar bears.
It's, yeah, there's signs everywhere like don't get out of your car.
You really should tame bears. Those if you're going to invite people to look at them.
Mm.
But there's no road that leads there, so I don't know how anyone gets to this town.
You got to know
Bobcat.
You got to know a guy.
You got
to
know a guy.
There's a guy who knows how to get there. There's always a guy who knows how to get there. You
find the name of this.
You find him and you find.